studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Welcome to Abounding Grace, a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and again joined with Kevin Eflin of the Bellingham United Reformed Church. We're thankful again on these Fridays to take your questions. You always may send a question in to our website at www.lindenurc.com, and the email address is aboundinggrace@lindenurc.com. So please send us your questions and we will be happy to take them and answer them here over the air. Well, last week we left off with a very important subject about church membership, about what it means to be a member in Christ Church. And Kevin, let me start by asking you, why do you think there's a low view of membership today in Christ Church? And why do you think there's such a propensity for people to skip around from church to church? And we're taking this up off a question that we received last week about when is it the appropriate time to leave a church?
Well, Chris, I think to be honest with you, I think people have a low view of church membership because they have a low view of the church. I think in our day and age, spirituality is defined by, have I done my quiet time? Have I had my personal devotions? Instead of seeing spirituality based upon what we call the means of grace, the preaching of the gospel, and the administration of the sacraments. I think that because we have this individualistic mindset of me and my God or me and my Bible, and we don't see the corporate nature of the church, because of that, we have a low view of church membership. I think that when we understand that God works primarily through the means of grace, preaching, and the sacraments, then we will see even more how important the ministry of the local church is. John Calvin had quite a bit to say about that. He said quite a bit about the importance of the local church. And I think we, following in his footsteps and standing on his shoulders in a sense, we too should have a high view of God's local church.
Yeah, I'm glad you raised something that John Calvin said, and he was very big on church unity. And as Kevin and I were talking about this, we went back and looked up in the Institutes what he had to say about unity. And I just want to read to you a paragraph, again, answering that question, when is it the appropriate time to leave a church and why is church membership not taken very seriously today? And he said this, "For the Lord esteems the communion of his church so highly that he counts as a traitor and an apostate from Christianity anyone who arrogantly leaves any Christian society if it cherishes the true ministry of the word and the sacraments." And then he says, "Difference of opinion on non-essential matters should in no wise be the basis of schism among Christians. We must not thoughtlessly forsake the church because of petty dissensions. First and foremost, we should agree on all points." But then he says, "Since all men are somewhat beclouded with ignorance, either we leave no church remaining or we must condone delusion in those matters which can go unknown without the harm to the sum of religion or loss of salvation." So what he's essentially saying is that if everyone went out with their own little petty dissensions and rejected the church, we would have no church remaining. And then he says, "Woe to us then who act with criminal license that weak consciences are wounded because of us." And I think it's a wonderful thing to think about today, how we all have to be striving together to work towards unity. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes self-sacrifice. And I think Kevin's right. With this individualistic mindset in our day and everyone doing what's right in his own eyes, as the scriptures so often condemn, it really does lead to the deterioration of Christ's church and a terrible witness to the world when Christ said that you will know one another by the love that you have for one another. So, anything else you want to add to that?
Just one more thing. I think that, you know, in the context of a local church, it's important that we show grace to one another. That doesn't mean that we condone sin, and we don't condone false teaching, but we also understand that we are all weak, we are all fragile, we are all people who sin, and people who come into a church expecting perfection are simply not going to find it. And I think it's imperative for us as Christians to show grace to one another and to be patient with one another, trusting that the Lord will do his work in the midst of a local church.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And yes, I agree that we have to show much grace to people in the way that we handle things. But at the same time, we need to remember there will be conflict in the life of the church. I don't know how many times I've met people in the ministry who are generally fighting over one particular thing, and in that fight, they tend to show very little charity to those around them, and they, in a sense, like Calvin said, will show reckless license and just leave a church. I often think about that passage on the last day when somebody says to Jesus, "Lord, Lord, you know, have we not done all this in our kingdom, in your kingdom?" And then he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I've often asked myself, what kind of person is that in the life of the church? My guess is that looking at that passage, it is the type of people who are very contentious and very unloving in the life of Christ's church. And it's something we need to think about, because the mentality of a servant, the mentality of one of those who is really following Jesus, is that he's not contentious, is that he is a humble servant serving others, not his own belly. I don't know if there's something you want to add to that.
Well, I think Chris, we need to be careful that you know, we do not become hypercritical in certain areas. You know, we who have fought so diligently for doctrine and truth and for the truth of the gospel, which is obviously very important and critical, I think we can also have a tendency to become hypercritical. And I worry sometimes that perhaps there are churches filled with people who are critical of everything. They're critical of the elders, they're critical of the sermons, they're critical of the programs, they're critical of this and that. And that type of mentality, whether it comes from a person in leadership or just a member of the congregation, that needs to be repented of. And the Lord has some very serious warnings to give to those who cause dissension and those who also are not willing to submit to the rule and the leadership of elders. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that we rule with an iron fist. That means those of us who are ordained as elders in the church and ministers are to rule in a loving way and to lead in a loving, shepherding way. But at the same time, there has to be a spirit of love and graciousness and humility upon the part of those who are being led. The danger of being very critical is a very real danger to our churches.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful point. You know, it is becoming increasingly more common. You know, I guess, and maybe this is a spillover from the 60s, where everybody was taught to question authority, where everyone would say, you know, question it, and if you don't like it, you don't have to do it. And you know, when that mindset is brought into the Church of Jesus Christ, it will lead to chaos. I think of a few admonitions that Paul gives in first in the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 17. "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." And then, of course, I'll let Kevin comment on this one, but this is one we thought about as we were thinking through this session. This is 1 Timothy 6. "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with holiness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself." Now, I have many thoughts about that, but Kevin, do you want to jump in on that?
Well, Chris, to be honest with you, that's some pretty harsh language. You know, we in our day and age where we cry tolerance, we might not use language like that, but Paul says that these people are destitute of the truth. You know, there are people today who are, and we've talked about before, one-issue people who are so focused on one issue that they will cause division and dissension and bring strife to a church over one issue. And, you know, that's very dangerous. These people are proud. They know nothing, Paul says, obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. And we need to be very careful that a church does not become overly focused upon one issue.
Right, and that is a tendency in all of us. You know, and I've often thought, in our zeal for the truth, why does that often make us more contentious people? What it should make us is more humble people, because if we really believe that everything that we have comes by grace and that anything that we're given is surely by the hand of the mercy of God, then it should produce the most humble people in the world. Mm-hmm. And that is our conviction. And so, you know, we always want to be careful that we show charity and compassion to those who may not fully understand things the way we do. But our tendency is to be like the Pharisees and continue to separate us out and form our own little groups and our own little cliques. And at the end of the day, I guarantee you, people like this will have no heart for evangelism, no heart for the lost. They will be cold people who are more prone to the argument than the advancing of the gospel.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that, you know, as people, as pastors who preach salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, our churches should be filled with the most humble, grateful people there is. We should exhibit tremendous joy in our lives, knowing that God has saved us from our sins by His grace, and that we have accomplished none of that on our own. And for our churches, or for churches in general, to be filled with contentious, joyless people, I think that's very sad. And I think that you know, we need to look at our doctrine more closely and to realize what kind of fruit that should produce in our lives.
Yeah, I think one of the admonitions of the Apostle Paul, and I would say should be the most reformed verse in the Bible, is a servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but patient and able patiently to teach everyone and listen to people who need to be listened to. So it's always something that we're working to refine as Christians and as pastors. Kevin, you mentioned something a minute ago about the role of elders, the role of overseers in the life of the church. And, you know, I don't know if we can stress enough the importance of this today. What do you see as the primary role of the elders and how the people are to respond to elders and over-shepherds in the life of the church?
Well, first of all, you know, 1 Timothy and Titus lay out very clearly the qualifications for elders. So when we look at elders, we're not looking necessarily for great businessmen or for those who are financially savvy. We're looking for men who are godly. The primary characteristics of an elder is godliness. I think only one characteristic has to do with ability, and that is the ability to teach. The rest are all character qualities. And so elders are to be godly men, men who shepherd faithfully, who love faithfully, who lead the flock according to the Word of God. And then on the other hand, you look at Hebrews 13, that speaks of the fact that members of the congregation are to submit to the elders because the elders care for their souls. It's a very weighty office of elder. But at the same time, members also have a weighty responsibility, and that is to submit to those that the Lord has placed in charge over them.
Yeah, and you know, you just referenced Hebrews chapter 13. It's interesting, a twist in that passage where it says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account." They're the ones where the authority resides because they're going to have to answer directly to the Lord. And then he goes on to say, "Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." If the elders aren't able to rule with joy because no one is submitting and continuing to voice criticisms against actually the government that God has set in place, the situation that occurs is one of grief, and then the oversight will be probably will be prone towards tyranny, mm-hmm. I would imagine. And that's exactly what that text is teaching. So God has set an authority structure for the advancement of His kingdom and the oversight of souls. And we are to be patient with those in authority through their failings, knowing that through them, God is ruling us. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, Kevin, tell us a little bit about worship at the Bellingham URC.
Well, if you are looking for a place to worship and live in the Bellingham area, we'd love to have you. We worship Sunday mornings at 10:30, also Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. We meet in the gymnasium of the Bellingham Christian School on Sunset Drive, just east of Sunset Square Shopping Center. So if you have no place to worship or looking for a church, we'd love to have you.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace for our next broadcast. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and may you find a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught, and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed.